If ever you get to go to the Holy Land, you get to go to Jericho usually, that's part of the deal. And if you go to Jericho, they usually take you to this place where Zacchaeus climbed up a tree. Now, is it the tree? I don't really know if it's the tree. That doesn't really matter, does it? But it's the story that matters most of all. There's probably lots of little trees around that everyone else is saying, this is the tree that Zacchaeus climbed up. That doesn't matter. The truth about this story, surely, is that Jesus has a heart for people who think they're beyond the pale and lost completely. That he will seek out the lost in life and he will grant them salvation. That's what it's all about. That's the heart of this amazing and wonderful story. And we're going to return to it in a while. Now, I don't know if you remember Malcolm Muggeridge, but he was kind of a journalist in the 70s and up to the 80s, probably that was about it, really. But he was a very well-known person. In fact, he said these things about himself. He said, I suppose I consider myself well-known. That's to do with fame. I consider myself also to be financially secure, enough to qualify for the higher slopes of the Inland Revenue. That's success. I've written various books and articles which appear to be well received and well heeded. To me, that's fulfillment. But he goes on to say, but of all these tiny triumphs, they amount to nothing measured against just one draught of what the living Lord gives us through the living waters of Christ, that which he offers to those who are spiritually thirsty. And so just in a few short words here, Malcolm Muggeridge has kind of summed up what he feels is the most important thing in life, to receive the draught of water from the living Christ, the living waters that will refresh his soul. And all the rest matters very little to him compared to that experience. And as we think today about what it means perhaps to be a follower of Christ, And all of the readings actually sort of aim in that direction, I think Malcolm Muggeridge's words are really important. Finding out where true refreshment comes. Because as in any age, there's always been plenty of watering holes where people will go. And the kind of counterfeit watering holes, the water's poisoned, it's not quite right, and makes people feel worse than when they first began to drink. But there is a watering hole where we will be refreshed, and that watering hole is in Christ Jesus. And it's readily available and superbly signposted through the living Lord Jesus. And just one draught, just one sip of his waters will refresh your soul. And that's what it ought to mean for us. In his letter to the Ephesians, if you want to turn to that, you're welcome to do so, it's on page 1173, Paul speaks to the church at Ephesus, and he wants to enable Christians of that generation and subsequently in our generation and in every generation to understand what it means to be included. You know, we all want to feel included in life. We want to feel that we're needed and loved and wanted. And in different ways, of course, we all seek that out. But how wonderful it is to know that we're included in Jesus, to know that he is our friend and our saviour. And Paul was wanting to draw attention to this to the church in Ephesus, not least because there were a great number of counterfeit watering holes in that place. People would, you know, it was a very materialistic society. We think we've got, you know, a materialistic society now, but in Ephesus at that time, it was way up there with London and New York and all those things that, you know, we love for all sorts of different reasons, but materialistically, Ephesus had it all. And he was just wanting the people of this church to understand what it meant to receive the living waters of Christ. And so we're in chapter 1, and Paul speaks of this hope that is for us. And he says in verse 13, he says, you also, you Christians, were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now that's a wonderful phrase because it says, you were included. You were included. So even if you've only just begun the journey, or if you've been on this journey of faith for many years, you were included. Included in all the riches of God's amazing love, revealed to us through his precious Son, Jesus Christ. And the qualification is when you heard the word of truth. That's when it begins for you. When the word of truth begins to take that seed takes root in your heart and makes you grow in Christ. And Paul uses this phrase, in Christ, all the way through this letter and other letters as well. And he goes on to say, having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We belong to him. And that's another phrase, another word that's important to people. They want to belong. Now in Cornwall we say we don't belong to do that sort of thing, don't we? We use it the opposite way around. But actually what he's saying is this. When we receive the word of truth, God's salvation in our hearts, we belong. And that sense of belonging is fulfilled too. Included and belonging. Two important things that human beings need most of all. And here it is, just crying out at us from the pages of Holy Scripture. But it is, Paul goes on to say, to the praise of God's glory. Because that's what he has always intended for human beings. That we will find our place in him, always. And it seems to me, most of all, that's exactly what Zacchaeus was beginning to find. Rooting around, I was very interested in what Lynn was saying about being in a dark forest, but you could see the light coming through the trees. Well, there wasn't a forest around for Zacchaeus, but there was a lot of tall people, and he couldn't see the light until he climbed this tree. And that's what this story is all about. He's begun to hear about Christ, no doubt. Heard about the things that Jesus was doing. And he wanted some of this. And so Zacchaeus begins to seek him out. He climbs the tree to see what this Jesus is all about. It says in chapter 19 of Luke, verse 4. So Zacchaeus ran ahead of Jesus, determined to get pole position, and he climbed this sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. I think there has to be a point in our lives where we need to reach the right advantage point to see Jesus, to strip away the stuff that prevents this from happening. And when we get to hear that he's around, and he's around these days in different ways, of course. He's not physically present as he was for those short years of ministry, 33 years in all of his life in the first century. But he's very real and present by his Spirit today. And we need to get to observe when God is moving by his Spirit in this world. And we sense Jesus is present, for instance, and hopefully in his church most of all. But not just here. And seek him out. Do what we need to do to seek Jesus out. Climb the sycamore tree. Do what you need to do, but be present wherever he is. And of course, as Zacchaeus sought him out, Jesus reached the spot and he immediately looked up. He must have had a word of knowledge. He knew that this man had sought him out because there was something in his life that needed dealing with. As there is for all of us. We all have things that need sorting out. Zacchaeus was just like any other human being. He had problems that need to be dealt with. And he didn't castigate Zacchaeus. He didn't show him up. He said, come down. I must stay at your house today. The song goes, I'm going to have tea with you today. Zacchaeus was a very little man. A very, very little man was he. He climbed to the top of a sycamore tree for Jesus. He wanted to see. Jesus said, I must stay at your house today. And so he came down at once and he welcomed Jesus gladly. So there was a moving towards Jesus all the time. It wasn't just Jesus seeking him out. There was a moving of Zacchaeus towards the person of Jesus Christ. And he began then to realize that despite what he had become in his life, and he was despised by lots of people because he was, we are told, a very wealthy tax man. So he was, you know, there was dishonest gain for Zacchaeus, as well as the taxes he ought to collect. He was setting some aside, palming it aside for his own use. So he was despised by many people. And Jesus went straight to the heart of the matter and granted him salvation. Isn't that gracious? Isn't that wonderful? There is nothing in life that we can't bring to Jesus that he won't turn around and redeem. And I think that's a really precious thought. And in fact, many of the stories in the Bible, you know, Jesus, God calls people, Jesus called people who weren't perfect. Now that ought to be, that's a relief. He took them sometimes from the worst places and he raised them up to where they needed to be. And we need to hear that. Because sometimes we feel we've done something that's, you know, absolutely unrepairable, not possible to sort out. God, with God all things are possible. This was a fantastic moment for Zacchaeus, and he was ready for it. Are you ready to receive God's amazing love, his grace and his forgiveness every day? That's the big question, isn't it? But of course, there were those who were against all of this, and all the people began to mutter, literally, because they thought they were the religious people, and they ought to have been welcoming Jesus to their homes, not Zacchaeus. That's not the way they thought it should work. Jesus ignored them, basically. Even though Jesus was considered to be going to a house of a sinner, he just ignored it and did what he knew was right to do, what he had to do. And immediately there was a work going on in Zacchaeus' life which turned him around, changed his whole outlook upon life. His relationship with God was changed, and with people was changed. And what he did allow immediately was to allow the work of God's salvation through Jesus just to begin to work into his life. And light came into him, and he realized that he needed to change. And we do this, and we begin to do this when we learn to hear and respond to God's word about salvation. It changes our lives. It seeps into our very inner being and causes us to want to follow him, so that we begin ourselves to witness to the hope that is within us. We do this naturally, not forcefully. We don't need to do it forcefully. People ought to be able to see that there's light kind of shining out from us, the light of Christ within us. So first of all, salvation is worked in as God speaks to us, direct to our hearts. Then salvation is worked out as we begin to witness to God's amazing, extraordinary love within our lives. And we do this as soon as we receive the Spirit of God into our lives. That work of salvation begins, and the process continues for the rest of our lives and for as much as we allow it. Now Zacchaeus was up for the whole thing. He invited him home. Wherever we are, we need to invite him home. It's not just for here on Sundays. We invite him to be a part of our work life, our social lives, and of course our church lives. The whole thing. No gaps. Jesus wants to be present at it all. And once we allow God's Holy Spirit to work in us in that way, who makes Jesus known to us, so our lives will surely change in him. We begin to recognize all that we have. Suddenly we recognize that we have, by his grace, everything that we need in this life. It's not financial things. It's something that will set us up for our lives in Christ. Suddenly we recognize that all that we have ever had actually belongs to him. One of the prayers that we use usually sometimes before communion is this, and it's a word that says, which comes from the First Chronicles, and it says, "But who am I, and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? For everything comes from you, and we have only given you what comes from your hand. When we recognize that everything we have comes from him in the first place, what we give back is his anyway. That's extraordinary, isn't it, really? And so that means everything we do, it starts with Jesus and it ends with Jesus. And so as we once again, for instance, this year prepare for another gift day, which is on the third Sunday of November, we recognize that actually everything comes from him in the first place. And we don't actually focus on the target or the problem we have of not making the amount of money we need for this year. We focus on Jesus. And eventually, whatever is needed for this year, for instance, will be made up. But we respond to a generous God. We respond to his amazing generosity to us, which is unmeasurable, really. How do you begin to measure God's immense and extraordinary love? We respond out of that. And then we will meet anything in terms of finance, in terms of things that we need to achieve as a church that he's calling us to do, whatever that is. It comes from him. And he will provide everything we need to do that. He is our provider, Jehovah Jireh, in every sense. Zacchaeus understood this. And as Jesus met with him at his home, Jesus said to him these amazing words, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. That's what he came to do. And he's actively doing that day in and day out. Seeking out those who are climbing the metaphorical sycamore trees to see who this Jesus is. But the reason, of course, Zacchaeus did that was because he heard of Jesus' reputation. And he wants, and people are looking in life for hope and direction to be included, to belong and to love. And we need to model that as we learn to love Jesus. And he enables us to love others. They too will want to climb that tree to see this Jesus who is coming their way. So we're going to ask God in our prayers today to help us to fulfill all that he wants us to in terms of his church, as individuals. Yes, even on a gift day, to give exactly what we need to meet our responsibility this year. But we're going to keep our eyes fixed on him, not on the target. We're going to keep our eyes fixed completely on Jesus. Because when we welcome him, when we receive him, we are able to understand that salvation has come to our house this day. For Zacchaeus, it was the person of Jesus. For us, it's the Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Jesus, coming to be and be a part of our lives and to be a part of this church. And we're going to invite him to be a part of that also. So let's be still for a moment as we welcome him afresh into our lives today.